Welcome to the season finale of our first season of Don't Be That Girl podcast show. I'm Mahogany Moore, your host and relationship strategist to women who are looking to attract the man that they desire and not the one that they keep getting. Today's a special episode for me because I will look forward to interviewing and spending time with my girlfriends, my day ones. But as always, let's talk about why we're here. The platform is built so we talk about engaging conversations and topics about relationships and all that's part of that, but also to keep the conversation going in your local communities, coffee shops, and living rooms, because we want men and women to start talking to each other and not at each other. So let's get into it. So our first topic today, well, the only topic, is dating chronicles, right? 2 decades with my day ones. And so now you all can see, these are my day ones. I'm missing 2, but I will get into that a little bit later as to why they are my day ones. This episode was really special for me because, ever since the inception of this show, I really spent a lot of time with my friends, and they were the ones that actually encouraged me to go down this path. I moved here in 2000, and for the most part, we all met, ironically, at the same job in 2000 and became fast friends and stayed loyal friends throughout it all, throughout our ups and downs in our journey of life, which everyone can't say that they have been blessed with that type of tribe. We come from different parts of the United States, right? We've got Ohio, we have North Carolina, we have New Jersey, we have New York, and yet we bonded and created a real close bond. I wanted everyone on here. Oh, sorry. Special guest, Canada as well. Hey, Bobby. Thank you. And here's the thing. Like, I'm just so excited to have them here because they have checked me. They have seen me go from single to married to divorced to married to the whole nine to having children. And we've all done the same thing. So the beauty and the purpose of this episode really is to identify with local females who are either single or just dating, and we all have challenges, but we all also continually grow and try to celebrate one another. Another unique thing about us is that everyone also, we started in our 20s, and now we're all in our careers, we have children, and we all are entrepreneurs. So it is possible, I wouldn't say to have it all, but it is possible, right, to attain your dreams and also to have loving relationships, even in Atlanta. We will get into that soon. So first, I want to introduce, and we're going to go down the line. We're going to start to my far left, and this is Miko Van, Tomiko Van, a.k.a. Miko. Miko resides in the south side of Atlanta, and she currently is a national compliance officer for a Fortune 500 insurance company. She also owns an organization called Jacob Java Notary Public, LLC. And so that is Miko. Next, we have up Kimberly McMorris. I want to call you by your maiden name. Kimberly has a plethora of items, and I probably have to read them to you. I had to pull them off of her LinkedIn. Lord, Kim is married, resides on the south side. She has adult children in a blended household, and she is also assisting in raising her grandson. Though Kim looks nothing like a grandmother, does she? Kim is what I would call a serial entrepreneur. She left the corporate world probably about over 5 years ago. She has several lucrative pots that she dips into. She's a co-owner with her husband in First Priority Insurance. She's a local ambassador to Black Wall Street Insurance Agency, an executive director to Legal Shield, and CEO of Black Wall Street Financial Literacy Foundation, which is a nonprofit. Kim, welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next, we have Bobby. Bobby Jones resides on the northwest side of Atlanta. Bobby has raised her 4 children, some adult and some minor, here in Atlanta. She is currently a national certified counselor who owns Tailored Wellness Institute. It's in Metro Atlanta, but actually her services can be nationwide. She provides regular psychology, family, and also marriage counseling. Welcome, Bobby.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And last but definitely not least, Nikita York. aka Nikki or Nick. Nick, likewise, like Kim, is happily married, resides on the South Side. She also is a proud mom and proud glam mom to her baby granddaughter. And also, I would say Nikki's a serial entrepreneur who also has had the great pleasure and privilege of leaving corporate America. She currently is co-owning to a restaurant here in Atlanta called Grist Breakfast Kitchen. And also, they have a second location that they have expanded to. Kudos to her and her husband. She has a property management company. She's still a certified medical coder, so she does consulting there. And she will be opening a chef school soon, right here in Atlanta. So stay tuned. You want to stay connected to Nikki. Lastly, I will say this, which was also very awarding for Nikki in March of 2023. Nikki actually got the Women of Impact Award during Women's History Month. She was an honoree, and I want to welcome Nikki to the panel. All right. So first, I will probably say we're going to jump into a couple of questions just to get the conversation started. But as always, please drop your comments on our Instagram page, and we'll drop all of our other platforms. And at the end, all the ladies will also, if you want to follow them, share where they can be found as well. So let me see. I got all these papers. Here we go. All right. See, they was nervous because they was like, who going first? What question you going to ask me? That's the only way it's going to be authentic, right? Okay. So, first question to my single gals. That would be Miko and Bobby.
Danny.
Oh, wow.
Dating in Atlanta. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you've experienced over the past 20 years? We're going to let Bobby first and then Miko second.
Why me first? Okay. Over the last 20 years. So some of the last 20 years I've been married, but in the pockets of time, you know, 3 to 4 years apiece that I've been single in between. Consistency has been an ongoing challenge that I encounter. And I'll delve into that if you like. Consistency and transparency. So I find that some gentlemen who believe they're ready to be dating are not clear on what they want, which becomes a problem in both areas of consistency and transparency. They can't articulate what they want, so it's really hard for me to manage my expectations. So, and then, you know, being consistent. So hot and heavy in the beginning, and courtship on high, chivalry on high, and then after a certain period of time, that starts to dissipate or become inconsistent, in which case I categorize that as, okay, you're just not that into me, and I back up. So those would be the two glowing challenges. There are others, but those are the two I encounter the most.
I think we're all shaking our heads.
Yeah, in agreement on that one, right? I mean, I think it's common enough.
Yes. Yeah. Miko, your thoughts?
I definitely have to concur with what Bobby has to say with the consistency, but I'd have to also say they anticipate, because they're in Atlanta, they're looking at the women being aggressive, and they want you to be the aggressor, and they anticipate you wanting the roles being reversed, and they anticipate you chasing them. And so because they're looking at, oh, well, I'm here in Atlanta now and I don't have to pursue you, they sit back and they want you to chase them. And so they're expecting you to call them, you to hunt them, as opposed to them chasing you. So because I come from the mindset and I know who my father is, I'm not going to call you. So if you don't call me, I'm not calling you. So therefore, I'm sitting at home not getting the phone call because I'm not calling you. I'm putting in as much energy as you're giving me. So if you're not calling, I'm not calling. And then you're wondering why, oh, you ghost me when I see you. I'm like, no, I didn't ghost you. You know how to date.
I matched your effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You just said a mouthful. You said a mouthful.
That's like... That's a dissertation.
But the thing about it is, because there's so many highly educated black women that are here, they're looking at the dating pool in Atlanta is shallow, and it really isn't. It's just that the men are sitting back waiting for these aggressive black females to approach them, and they do. That they're like, okay, well, I've got the president of this company, or I've got these women that are creating these companies taking me out or taking me on these trips, that they're sitting back getting flown out or taking them to these dinners, and okay, well, I'm gonna sit back and allow them to do this, so why should I pursue you? Mm-hmm. Why should I go out or do anything for you when I've got this person here allowing me to drive her car?
Thanks, Nico.
I'm gonna wait for her to do this for me, and I'm gonna go do this for her. I'm going to allow her to do this for me. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to sit back and do that.
Thank you for sharing. Excellent. Yes, that's a mouthful, and it's very, very true to see. This takes us to our second question, still to our single ladies. Mm-hmm. What's your biggest fear in dating, relationships, and love? And we'll briefly start with Nico.
What is my what now?
Biggest fear.
Well, with anybody's biggest fear is...
And you don't have to go on all of the fears.
It's just being hurt.
Answer, just one.
It's being hurt. It's when you allow yourself to be open, and you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable, and you're just hurt because I've opened myself up to you, and... You don't want to be hurt. No one wants to be hurt.
Don't want to be hurt. I feel you, Bobby. Mm-hmm.
I used to think it was that for me, and I agree with what Miko's saying. I think for me it's betrayal, which sounds a lot like hurt, but like time's the only commodity we don't get back. And although I am not a believer in even relationships that don't work out were a waste, I don't regard any encounter that I have as a waste. I don't have that. I don't have as much of that despair as I do everything else in my life. So I want intention. That transparency, that consistency, going back to what is important.
Yeah. I like that. Since I am newly single, I'll probably answer into that question as well.
Good.
For me, it would be heartbreak. I don't think I manage heartbreak very well.
Like scratch people's cars, don't manage it well?
I am not Jasmine Sullivan.
Bust the windows.
What I'm saying is heartbreak as in, so I know everybody doesn't believe in astrology, but I'm a Cancer. And so if I really like you, if we really get into something, it becomes very much like my all.
You pour a lot.
Yes. Mm. And so it's almost like Toni Braxton, I can't breathe again. Mm. You know, I have a hard time moving on. And that is where I would say I'm personally working on is accepting that relationships can have a beginning and they can have an end. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
They still have value.
Journey of life. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so while I may not hate any of my exes, except one, that is the heartbreak. That's the part that for me is my fear of when I really like someone.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's move on. Next one. This is for Nikki and for Bobby.
Nikki and Bobby.
Nikki and Bobby.
It's like Ricky Bobby, but no Talladega Nights.
How important is physical attraction to you in building a committed, healthy relationship? I'm going to start with Nikki because Bobby's been talking about it.
Well, I've always been one that's not on the physical attraction thing.
Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, you can be fine today. You can have a great physique, a six-pack. You know, something could happen or anything. You could be 200, 300 pounds. Or, you know what I'm saying? So my things always go with the heart and not with the outer.
Look at your maturity and whatnot coming through. I see my
But at some point, you still have to be physically attracted to them to a certain degree, though.
That's for you, boo.
Right? No, okay, but
that was a question to Nikki.
No, but I get that, but it has to be his eyes. Or, I mean, even though, or his heart.
It may just be that thing thing, girl. That thing.
Yeah,
oh,
thank you. Yeah, I get it. All right, so we're going to go on to Bobby. Bobby, how would you answer that question?
I'm not at your level of maturity just yet, but I've not had that lengthy relationship that ended up out to be a ride or die. I think that changes the life experience and perspective, right? So it's important to me, but it's not the top priority. How I'm treated is the top priority. I will become enamored with his qualities if we have a reciprocal and healthy relationship and I feel safe.
Yes. Gotcha.
If I feel safe, you're going to get the best version of Bobby you could possibly get.
It's right. Me, but that's not
gain weight, lose weight, beard, no beard, bald, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's why I picked Nikki and Bobby for this question, because I think you're going to see opposites in women, and that's fine, right? Some of us are going to, we'll say, travel closer to physical attraction, and some of us may actually see the inner person first. I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong,
just
but it's differences. And in them too, because I know them so long, I know that they see things from different angles, and I love to hear. Nikki, can you repeat again though, where the attraction comes in if it's not based off 100% physical?
Because
you ain't never dating no ugly dudes.
No,
I'm
not saying that.
Far from that.
My husband fine.
No,
like,
it's just the inner. My thing is, it's just the inner, your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's the attraction.
That
treat me right, your heart.
Right.
I don't need all of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you this. This question's not on there, but does that mean that it takes you a little bit longer time to enter into a relationship? Because it takes time to see. People bring their representative.
Amen.
So does that mean that you're spending more time, you're going slower when you see a quality person to see if who they bring to the table really is that person, or it doesn't matter?
Well, I'm 10% do my homework.
Okay.
And I listen.
Give me some on that.
I listen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And an active listener.
Yes. Well, we could do more of that.
Yeah, we get a whole episode on that one.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, so now we're going to move on to our happily married lifers. Kim and Nikki. Lord, I don't know what Kim gonna say. We never know. So, as a happily married woman that's entered matrimony over the age of 40, if you don't mind me sharing, I'll share that because both of them look like they're in their 30s, and so it's not a problem. Okay? Both found their men. In fact, all of us have married here in Atlanta. So it's not like, you know, a lot of times you hear, oh, you know, you can't find a man in Atlanta. You know, they're not faithful. The truth is, there are good dudes.
And
I ain't gonna try to preach, but just because he may have been a fool to somebody else doesn't mean he's gonna be a fool to
you. That is a good point.
We'll get to that later. No. So we're gonna start with Kim. Kim, with you and your current husband, what would you say is the secret sauce to actually the date, the commitment, the matrimony, getting there with a gentleman here in a city such as Atlanta?
So now, for me, you know, and then I'll just specifically speak to James and I. We actually started dating right after I decided to get divorced, and it was not my intention to date. It was my intention to have a hot girl summer. That was my intention. But because I was so used to being married,
yeah.
You know, and then knew that I wanted to be in a relationship, and I knew what I didn't want, and then this time I made exactly for sure what I did want. Mm-hmm. So I tell individuals, right, that it really is that 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. It's that 80-20 rule. It's like, does that person give you 80% of the things that you hope, want, dream, and desire? Mm-hmm. But people focus on that 80%, but that's not really what you should focus on. What you should focus on is that 20% that they are not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right, once you look at that 20% that they are not, then you have to decide, is this 20% that you can live without? Because we're grown, I am not changing. And then I made sure that he knew exactly who I was and exactly who I was not. Because people think that, oh, well, they'll change for me, or, oh, well, they'll do this for me. Now, I'm not saying that a person can't change, but I need for you to know exactly who and what I am, and I want you to be comfortable with you being exactly who and what you are. Because you have to get to the heart of a person.
Yes.
You have to get to the mentality of a man. And then not only that, women, unfortunately, and I've seen this far too often, they tear a man down instead of learning to lift a man up.
Mm. That part.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
But I was in the back.
Some hands from the church real quick.
But I was in the back.
Yeah. And so what am I saying, you know, with some women, how they tear a man down, like, oh, you're not doing this, and you're not doing this, you're not doing that, instead of saying, oh, baby, you are doing this, you are doing that, you are doing that. But even also, right, even with that, the things that they are not doing, there are rewards and consequences.
Yes.
And then, right, what if I say that there are rewards and consequences? So now, if you do something amazing, there is nothing problem with saying, good boy, good boy, yay, yes, baby, I'm so grateful that you did that, sweetheart, you are amazing. Because men, they approve, I mean, they appreciate,
appreciation, everybody
however,
does,
though, but if you do something negative, oh, I'm not going to let that slide, absolutely not. We're going to have a conversation about it, and then, ladies, and then the key to men is making a man think, right? Because I'll be like, why did you do that like that? You knew that this was going to be my response, and since you knew that this was going to be my response, why did you do that? And then they get all befuddled, but of course, but it makes them stop and think. And then you let them know, like, look, like, on this particular occasion, look, I will let this slide. But however, if you should go down that path again, then this is going to be my decision. Because, again, there's rewards and consequences. And so, and that's kind of where we sometimes kind of get tripped up as. Whenever I was single, I'll be like, oh, well, I'll let that slide. Oh, well, I'll let that slide. I'll let that slide. You teach a person how to treat you.
Yes.
Damn. It's about self-love, self-respect, and self-worth.
Boundaries and expectations.
So I think what I heard you say, Kim, were a couple of things, and I wanted to bring them back up because I thought they were beautiful. One, you know who you are and what you want.
Absolutely.
Number one.
Absolutely.
Number two, you do positive affirmations. Absolutely. For your man. And number three, you're realistic.
Very much
and
so.
Looking at that 20% they're not providing and saying, can I deal with that? Can I be with that long term? Can I be with that for a lifetime?
Absolutely.
It reminds me of one time I was in therapy about a decade ago or more, maybe 15. And she was like, what are your deal breakers?
Yes.
It's good to know.
And my immature self in my 30s was like, how did that break her? You know, like, looking back, I realized that meant and didn't know and.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a whole issue there. Nikki, I asked you the same question, but I love your secret sauces. Those are beautiful. Nikki, I asked you the same question. Getting married here in Atlanta over the age of 40, but you found your man. So what would you say was a secret sauce to that formula?
Well, me, from coming from long-term relationships, I figured I'm like, I always tried to change somebody. I always had, I call them projects. Build-A-Bears.
Give me some more.
To where you're a woman and you know what you want and know your worth, ladies. Know your worth.
Amen.
Yes.
You know. And then from there, it's like, I prayed, and I prayed for God to send me who I needed, not who I wanted.
Oh, my God.
Not come home. But, I say it again, ladies, I prayed for God to send me who I needed, not who I wanted. And then, damn, there came my husband.
Yeah. So what I heard you say, which I love, was one, through your experiences, you learned what you wanted. She knows her worth. And she prayed for exactly what it is that she wanted. Not only just wanted, but needed. Mm-hmm. And it presented itself. And I'm going to add to you, and you were receiving of it at that time. I think that's another piece sometimes. The right person will come. We may not be receiving
and
ready. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, is a part of our mission, especially as African-American Black women, when we're professionals. Sometimes we can be so guarded that the man comes and we nitpick at every little thing and don't see his value and his character. And God done bought you the man you done prayed for.
Jesus.
And here you go. Well, he was late. He took me to the dinner I wanted to go to. He wanted to meet my kids too quick, and we shut it down for ridiculous things.
Yes. Do you mind if I piggyback on what Nikki said really quick?
Please, yes, ma'am.
So now, one of the reasons why I said I wanted to piggyback on what Nikki said really, really quick, because there is definitely a difference between what you want and what you need.
Yes.
And ladies, one of the things that I can honestly say that I did is that I remember I was dating a guy, and he said that my expectations was too high. And I was just like, I know exactly what I want and what I don't want. I said, I know that God is making that black man cake that is wonderfully made just for me. And so what I did is that I made a list. I made a 2-page list front and back of exactly what I wanted. But however, don't write. But if you don't know what you need, then there's a difference. And so even though I decided to divorce my first husband, right, he was everything that I said that I wanted, but I didn't know what I needed. And I took that exact same list, and then I added what I needed. And God turned around and blessed me with exactly what I wanted and what I needed, because there's a difference. So I just simply wanted to reiterate that, because it's important for you to know what you want, and not only that, what you need.
Bobby, you wanted to say
that. I did. And I think that's great that you expounded on that in that way. And we do this sometimes even in the clinical realm, is have people look at what they need versus what they want, and to build on what everybody has said. When we work on it from a therapeutic perspective, we look at needs as being non-negotiable deal breakers, like you said, and want still being important and valid. And valuable, but that's where you can be more negotiable, right? That's where if he wears a hat you don't like, you can make sure that, you know, maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe if he came late, like you mentioned, once or twice, you can give some grace. Because we need grace, right? Mm-hmm. This is a problem, though, with professional women who make their own money, who are highly educated, especially if we've been single for a minute, we can become cemented in our ways, and we become rigid, and the red flags show up, and we're missing the green ones. Mm-hmm. All the memes say you're missing the red flags. Mm-hmm. We're missing the green ones.
Yes.
Because it's not even if you're not uber independent, I got this all by myself. I do not. Mm-hmm. That's not how God intended us. That's how not how nature raised us. But at the same time, we've got to be, where are we flexible? And where are we, what are deal breakers? The needs honor us. That's us being true to us with our maturity and experience and having learned better. Mm-hmm. When we learn better, know better, we do better.
Right.
And the wants are things that we can offer grace to. If I end up in a ride or die relationship where I have everything I need and most of what I want, I'm going to be golden.
What you say, girl?
Exactly. You got
gold
right there.
And I'm
going to
piggyback one piece since we're piggybacking on
it. We piggybacking. That's what it's called.
The part of the need, though, is knowing yourself and being honest with yourself.
Yes.
That's what I have found the difference between mahogany and therapy years ago and mahogany and therapy now.
Yeah.
And one moment of disclaimer, we all need therapy.
Yes.
So if you don't have one, get you one.
Yes.
Okay? Because it's a continual evolution of your life.
Yes.
But the needing, you don't really know what you need unless you know who you are, what you're bringing to the table.
You need lots of self-awareness.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And therefore, you know then where your perhaps deficiencies are, and that's why you're choosing a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing a partner. We could be single and happy, and you should be. Men do not marry miserable women.
What you say?
Amen.
You know what? Imagine how much we could have all saved ourselves in time, heartbreak,
money,
negative experiences if we got better at discernment in our choosing of our partner.
Yes. Oh, I know.
Right? For all of us that have been married and divorced, had a breakup of any kind. But because we made the choices we made, because we hadn't done the work yet.
Right. Exactly. On ourselves.
On ourselves.
Right.
We didn't have that level of self-awareness. I am not the Bobby I was at 24 when I married the first time.
Right.
Absolutely not.
And I think a lot that goes into that, at least I know Nikki and I can identify, sometimes when you are a single parent and you work full-time and you have your business, your entire life is giving to someone else. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And so at what point do you reflect, and Bobby too, what point do you reflect on and take care of you?
Self-care.
Take care of you.
Self-love.
And I feel in the African American community, this is something that black women, I'm sorry, I'm gonna say it. White women don't do this like us.
They
take care of themselves, and they don't, most of the time, get into relationships with men who are not catering to them in some kind of way. And to your point, they may not like their aesthetics, but he taking care of home, that mortgage paid, and I'm in a new car every 2 years, that part. Yeah. And when we get divorced, I'm walking away with a chunk. Okay? But the thing is being able to have enough time where you're alone. Spend time with you. I took time to date myself to go to movies, to go to restaurants, to sit in the house. I purposely made myself not engage so that Anne could get to know Anne. Still a journey. I keep saying Anne and Mahogany. This is like the worst. But still a journey, but we still have to do that. One last thing I'm gonna say before we move on is I've witnessed relationships Kim and Nikki, and I've watched Kim and James. It is not funny, it's really beautiful, because what she says is true. When you have a relationship and that person makes you look better, makes you rise better, makes you make more money, when they're not a stressor, you look amazing. And that's what's happened to Kim. I have watched that in there, and I've watched their dynamics where Kim gives James grace. James gives Kim grace. Whereas they've had certain situations where I'm pretty sure I'd have been like, we'd have been duking it out. She made the right choice for herself.
Absolutely.
He feels safe in the relationship. He feels love. Therefore, he gives her grace when needed, even though Kim's a whole handful.
The thing is that your dude, if it's going to last, has to have big enough hands.
Yes.
Right? Because we're probably all a handful in respective ways, right?
I know I am. Well, you know,
I mean, I have no denial about my handfulness.
Right. So now... I I'm going to stop talking now. The thing that I tell people about James, right? Like, I've had plenty of men love me.
Yes.
I've had plenty of men with money. Like, I've dated ball players, actors, all of that. But James is the first man to make me feel protected.
Ooh,
because we as women, I knew that my heart, I knew that my life would be safe in his hands. Mm-hmm. Can you make me feel safe with you?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what most women, that's what they don't look for, is that we miss who makes you feel protected. Like, I know James will fight a bear for me.
Exactly.
But not only that, I know that he's going to make the best decision for us.
Oh,
yes.
And I pray for God to give James the spirit of discernment for him to make the right decision for us, because he is my head of protection. He is the head. Although, true enough, you know, where I tell women, look, like, we are the neck. Like, we're going to help them to turn that neck to the left and to the right. But we have to allow them to be the men that they are. And that's where sometimes, like, because we can be so strong and so independent that we don't allow our men to lead us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But you have to have a man today. That you can trust, that you allow to lead you forward.
Yes.
Because if I don't respect you, I ain't following you nowhere.
Exactly.
Amen.
And that's how I know when it's time to walk out of the marriage.
Yeah, you ain't going to lead me to destruction.
Right.
Absolutely.
So this takes us actually to our next question. This is actually just for Kim. Kim, do you believe that men can read our minds? And how do you persuade a man to meet your needs and your wants? I think you like walk right into this question.
Right. Okay, ladies. So now
I'm gonna sip on this one.
Men cannot read our minds. And there are different ways of getting the different things that you want. And so
speak on it, sis.
I'm gonna start with before I was married.
Okay.
So now, ladies, if you've never explored pillow talk, I'm gonna ask you to explore pillow talk. And then, right, whenever I say pillow talk, I'm not talking about pillow talk whenever he's awake. I'm talking about pillow talk when he's asleep.
Oh
girlfriend, let's
get y'all get your hands out.
We
get
So now, when you start with saying, baby, I love you. And then, right, to where if he responds, baby, I love you too, then you know that he's still awake. Or, baby, I think you're amazing. If he responds, you know that he's still awake. But whenever you say a couple of positive things, and then, right, whenever you know that he's sleeping, you start asking for what you want. Baby.
I would unconscious suggestion.
Okay.
Mind you, right, like, baby, I would really love.
Hang on a second, I need a notebook.
Get your notebooks, man.
Yes. Or, baby, I really want to do XYZ. Because what you do is you implant that into their subconsciousness. And there have been so many decisions that James has said no to, and miraculously, he has said yes to, because he does not realize that I have subconsciously planted that in his mind.
If you know James, make sure he doesn't watch this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just like, James now needs to be blocked off of access to this podcast.
Okay.
And then even with... Look, ladies, I am not above a temper tantrum. When I tell you I am not above a temper tantrum,
And again, whenever I said that, I made sure that James knew exactly who I was and exactly who I was not. I am a single child, I'm a daddy's girl, and I am spoiled. So I am not above falling out the floor, not literally, right, and throwing a temper tantrum. Because, look, men, they fall into emotional responses, but you can't be over the top with it. And then not only that, right, you have to give them choices.
Yes.
Because men don't want to disappoint you. Like, I can ask James to do something. Baby, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? They're both things that I want to do. But however, I've given him the choice of, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? But they're both things that I want to do. And again, we can guide them and we can lead them wherever it is that they want to go. I mean, wherever it is that you want to go. But you have to make sure that it's someplace that's safe enough for them to go, and then not take them outside of their boundaries. I know what James will do and what he won't do.
Mm-hmm. I have learned something today.
Yes. Last question. Yes. Does this only apply in marriage or when also dating to get there to?
Oh, no. It applies in dating. Right now.
Yes.
So literally, ladies, if y'all got a man that y'all laying next to, by all means, please do pillow talk. Trust me, it works. It worked with my first husband, and it definitely worked with my second husband. But the difference between my first husband and my second husband, he loved me. And I'll tell anybody, he was not a bad husband. But however, with that 80-20 rule, he loved the whole 80% of me, but he didn't love that 20% of me that he didn't like. Can you find a man who loves all of you. Mm-hmm. All of you. The whole
good,
of you.
The bad,
you don't deserve the good if you can't put up with my bad. Yeah.
And then that is the difference. He loves even the bad things. Because, it mind you, right, I made sure that I was like, look, if you're looking for a conditional wife, I am not that chick. I am not. If you're looking for Susie Homemaker, I am not her. But however, what I will do is I will help you to make some money. What I will do is I will get in that kitchen and cook. Anytime you're hungry, you would never ever have to go anywhere but come home to get a meal. I will. You let them know what you will do. Mm-hmm. And I said, I will expand your territory. And I will run you around that bedroom. But however, if you're looking for everything to be in this nice, neat little place, if you're looking for somebody who's going to be running in behind you, baby, this, that, and the other, so on and so forth, I am not that chick. I am not. And so, again, very independent, very self-sufficient, but you have to let them know up front exactly who you are and exactly who you are not.
Yeah. I think what I heard him say, which I think is a great point, because I hear this often with clients and when it comes to dating, he doesn't know how to date, he won't do this, he won't do that. But what Kim was saying was, you actually, which women have got to understand, we have the power of persuasion.
Absolutely.
And every man's not coming to the table knowing and reading your mind what exactly you want, what your version of a date is, your version of a relationship, your version of a marriage, or your time frame. But you temper it with, he's the man, and the way that nature and God has it, the man's got to feel like a man. He needs the dignity, and he needs to be stroked in his ego.
So I'll say
one simple example. You got somebody, and I've had this often, they don't know how to date. They just want to roll over your house, or they just want to
roll over
their house, or they send you a message at 10 p.m. on Friday, WYT.
Not happening.
Yeah.
You don't
shut them down. Mm. You ignore that, and you send them options. You know what? I'm really in the mood for Italian. These are my three favorite restaurants. You let me know.
Absolutely.
Where you would like to go, and what time I need to be there, and what attire I should wear for this.
Set your boundaries and standards.
You create.
Turn the head, the neck, like
right.
You
so in that way, he's still. And then when you get there, he makes the choice. You've already given him the three selections, so you're gonna love one of them. Make the man feel like, oh my God, this is so amazing. I can't even believe you brought me here. You can't believe it because you just told him. But the point is, like Kim said, they're not mind readers, and I think that's such an important message for us in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. We got to stop thinking, especially in this day and age of the 21st century, when they got social media, they have pornography, they have women throwing their legs open, they have women who are sharing men. In this type of world, honey, they are so spoiled.
You got to teach them.
Yes.
You got to teach them.
So what you don't do is go down to their level.
No. Yeah.
you give them the option to come up to your level, and then when they don't, okay, well, then now I'm just going back off. But I think we got to stop being so aggressive and like, I can't even believe he just want me to go over his house.
Look, my question is,
don't ask me, can I cook?
Absolutely. If you had called me by Wednesday to make plans with me for the weekend, you can't call me Friday and say, hey,
oh, no, I'm sorry.
Ma'am,
no,
yes.
I'm saying, I'm alone.
My schedule already booked.
Even if it ain't booked. I could be sitting on my couch, Netflixing, and chilling by myself. I'm still telling you.
Because it's not what you tell them, it's how you show
them. You didn't show effort.
You teach you
lack of effort.
How to treat you.
Lack of effort equals lack of reciprocity.
So that takes me to the next questions for Nikki and for Kim. And then we're going to get off the married folk and move back to sex.
I feel lonely, like, too.
I know. Bobby feels neglected. We're going to get to her in a minute. Okay, so we're going to keep this short.
Yeah,
we're going to start with Nikki. Nikki, how do you keep, and see, here's the thing. Both of y'all are in relationships where you guys work together with your husbands, which I think can be great. Like, I wanted a power couple thing. But at the same time, it can have its whole negative because it becomes all about work, and you got to remember to keep the romance, the love, the sex, the boom, boom, boom. So, how do you keep your marriage healthy and spicy? And remember, this is a PG-13 show. We can share a little.
A little bit. Okay, so great communication. You have to communicate. You still have to date your husband.
Yes.
You still have to date, you know. Yes, we work in a restaurant together, but then I have my own thing going on. So we have separate, and sometimes we're together a lot. And then other times I was PG. So,
he's 13.
You rock, bro.
13, okay. But when you come home, they say, drop them draws, baby.
Baby,
that's it. Salty and all.
I like it.
Beef bone. Salty
and all. I love it.
I want some on that one.
That's some dedication right there.
Say rest her soul. At 94, she said, "You gotta keep spice in your life."
So 94, grandma was right. Yes. So definitely communication. Continue to date your spouse or your longtime committed partner. And 3, drop them draws, baby. I'm on sight.
Lord have mercy.
This is why we're friends. This is what we do.
So now I'm 55. Okay, and then my husband is 66. So, you know, y'all are significantly younger than me. And so, one of the things that I had to get to, because I'm busy, like, I wear a lot of hats, and she didn't even say all the other hats that I wear. And then we run an insurance agency together, so we're busy. But just because we're busy, I cannot neglect him or neglect his needs. Mm-hmm. And so, even though we play other days of the week, but Saturday, he knows Saturday is date night. And so whatever it is that you want to conclude from that with date night, I make sure that Saturday is like a trip to Six Flags. You never know what the ride is going to be.
Hey.
And so, mind you, right, and the reason why I said you never know what that's going to be.
Flags, but there ain't no lines.
I mean, because mind you, right, he could be mad at me about anything. But I promise you, he don't get past it by Friday, because he knows
forgiveness is Saturday.
Thursday, he gets a pacing on Thursday, because he know what's coming on Saturday. He has to give them a level of expectation of what they can anticipate. Because he know on Saturday, magic is happening on Saturday. Now, I'm not saying that on Tuesday, that if that spirit hit, that he can't get the same attention. But we have to create that element of expectation and anticipation.
Yes.
So why ain't Disney World? It's Kimmy's world.
Oh, hey!
Oh,
that's good. I love it.
That's great.
What I heard,
it's intentional.
What we heard Kim say was being intentional, building anticipation, and did I miss one? No, that's it. Her whole thing is around that anticipation all up into the big, you know.
And don't call on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the girlfriends know we can't.
Don't call on Saturday.
Yeah, she ain't coming to brunch on Saturday.
Okay. All right. We're going to move past that question. Move on to everybody. We're going to start with Miko and Bobby. Probably Bobby first because she feels neglected.
I was only playing.
How important are words of affirmation to your man? And is it hard for you to provide it if he doesn't, in that moment, deserve it.
Ooh. So I have to say, historically speaking, because I'm not in a committed relationship at the moment, but I think generally speaking, in my personal experience and overall, yes, it is. Even if they know their love languages and words of affirmation are not the number one, men need praise and positive reinforcement. Just like as mothers, we raise our children, and our children need positive reinforcement. We get the better behavior when we do that.
Right.
Even if he's missing the mark in these areas, those are separate issues. It's important to stick to one thing at a time. So you might be leaving the toilet seat up, but you might be doing a great job of maintaining my car. You're going to get praise. You might be knocking it down in your bedroom.
What?
But, you know, you struggle. So you can struggle in one area and still thrive in another. And honestly, we all deserve our flowers when we're doing our best and we're being intentional. So I think generally speaking, as humans, words of affirmation are important. And it helps guide behavior. But for men in particular, in a world that beats them down daily, in a world where they don't know if they're coming home at the end of the day, they need to know that we are a soft space to land. And what you're not going to get when you get home is emasculation, even if you're effing up.
Yes.
You're going to get love and support, and we'll deal with the issues that we have or where the needs and the wants aren't lining up. But that doesn't mean I don't love and respect you in all these ways, even if you're not hitting the mark properly in one area. That's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nico, for you.
The only thing I can say, and I'm glad that Bobby is a therapist, is, and even though I'm single, is ditto. That's it.
I mean, come on now.
Because Bobby summed it up. Ditto. That's it.
And you know what? That's why we all get along today. Not because we have the exact same views, but because, like, I think we're open to learning and from each other's experience.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
We have to build kings. We have to tell them what they are and not what they are not.
As a mother and sons, like, I got two boys and two girls. Like, one of my boys is grown. Like, that is important to me. Like, I've been married 3 times previously, divorced 3 times. But what my sons cannot say is they've ever seen their mother tear down a man in their presence, in that man's absence. Like, that's important. If we want them to lead us, then we gotta treat them like leaders.
Leaders.
Yeah.
Yep. Nikki. Words of affirmation, how important are they? How do you handle it when they don't deserve it? When he doesn't deserve it?
Well, sometimes I am that D. Because sometimes if you don't deserve it, no, I'm not gonna say, oh, honey, you did a great job. No. If I'm in my feelings, I'm sorry. I'm in my feelings. That's all. But when you deserve to get that affirmation, I definitely.
Do you believe in punishing? When you say you let them know, like, what does that look like?
I don't exactly believe in punishing, but
you just don't. We can't watch this either.
No, we can't watch it. But you just don't. I mean, I'm a type of person, like, you know, my husband don't expect oh, baby, you did this, oh, baby, you did this, because we're so busy. But I do, I let him know, you know, oh, you look nice, honey, oh, you did a great job, whatever. But it doesn't come all the time, I tell ladies. So I'm a busy, busy woman. I can't do that all the time, but when he gets it, he loves it, you know. Right. But I just don't punish him and say, oh, well, you didn't do a good job, you know. But we all human, we all women,
right?
You know, we get mad, and we get in our feelings, just like they get mad and get in their feelings. They ain't gonna tell us, oh, you look great, or whatever, if they mad.
Right. Do you intentionally have to remember to provide words of affirmation?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Ken?
Well, I do.
Yeah.
So, and I'm very there.
Do you have to remember?
Oh, no, I don't have to remember. It's just something that I just intentionally do it. That's just simply who I am. I'm just naturally a giver. So I'm naturally going to tell you, baby, I love you. I'm naturally going to tell you, baby, I appreciate you. I'm naturally going to tell you, baby, thank you so much for washing my car. You know, baby, look, I know that, and then even with, because of the space that I navigate in, right? I deal with a lot of very, very high level individuals, right? And so I make sure, you know, that James knows that even though I'm out of here navigating here, there, doing this, doing that, but that I couldn't do any of that if I didn't have a him. Mm-hmm. Okay. I make sure that he knows that he is the wind beneath my wings. That he knows that he's the reason why I can do some of the things that I do. Because they need to know. They need to feel like, wow,
You know, she can blossom like a peacock. We have to make them proud of the fact that they chose us to be their life partners. And so therefore, I make sure that he knows that I can only do what I do because I have a him. I can navigate in this space because I know that he got me. And yeah, I'm a tiptoe and I'm a dance all over that line. But I'm grateful that whenever I get to going too far, you can say, okay, Kim, stand your ass back. And I respect that. But again, if he steps out of character, because I'm not going to try to make it seem like everything is all nice and perfect, because it's not, it's marriage. Like, I'd be sitting here telling you a fallacy and a falsehood that if I didn't say that we have our ups and downs, our highs and our lows. But the one thing that I have learned, ladies, is that if I'm mad, I don't want to talk. Because words, they tick. You can't take them back. You can't take them back. You can apologize. But you can't take those back.
No.
You can't. And then, right, and although they may forget, although they may forgive, they'll never forget. Never forget. You know, you can't tell them, oh, you ain't this, you ain't that, you ain't doing this, you ain't doing that. You can't do that. That's the quickest way to run. And no man wants to come home to a nagging-ass woman. I'm so sorry, ladies. They just simply don't.
No, ooh, I agree.
You know, that reminds me, there was a thing I saw on Instagram where there was this woman who was yelling at this man, and he was leaving her, and she said, why are you going to her? She's not prettier than me. She's not this than me. She's not this, you know, and she was listing all this stuff, and then he goes on to tell her, but she doesn't yell at me.
Yeah.
She doesn't do this, you know, and it was all of the things that the lady didn't do to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she's softer. She's softer. And everything that he said, he was like lowering his tone, like she's softer than you.
Yes.
You know, she might not be more prettier than you, but she comforts me.
Mm-hmm.
She does this for me. And she cooks for me.
Yes.
She does that for me.
She's a nurturer.
And yeah, and that's what she said. And then that's why he was leaving the wife to go be with this other woman. And then the woman just kind of like sat there and she just took it. And like, you can't sit here and beat this man down
and expect
him to want to stay and be there with you.
What Nico said was perfect, and I say that because with the husband I have now, I make sure that I listen to him. For the first couple of months that we dated, we ladies, we want to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. We just do it. It's just something within our nature. But I can honestly say, I intentionally studied James. I listened to what he said when his first wife didn't do. I listened to what he said when his second wife did do. I listened to all of the negatives. He told me about how his first wife, how she was all extra overly aggressive, and I was just like, okay, all right, no problem. He told me that his second wife, because she was highly educated, about how she would correct him if he, you know, said something wrong. I make sure that I don't do that. Look, I don't care how he mispronounced it. I'm like, okay, baby, as long as I understand what you're saying, it does not matter. To where she was like, why are you trying to run this business? Why don't you just go get a job? Look, baby, we're gonna turn this business into whatever it is. I intentionally listen to him. He told me the things that he really liked about his first wife. He made sure he told me the things that he really liked about his second wife. And then obviously I didn't try to walk in their footsteps, but it let me know what the landmines were, but it also let me know where the flowers were also. We have to listen with intentions. Listen to gain understanding, because you need to know who that man is and you have to know who that man is not.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Nico. That was
yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
Right. Now, if you have not read the Michelle Obama, her first book, you remember the name of it as? I don't remember, but in her first book.
I went to the tour. I still don't remember.
Yeah, she went through her entire journey and her just career and relationship with Barack. And that was one thing. Like, I always wondered, how could she be so strong and support this man through? Because she really supported, really Michelle supported Barack through his dream.
Not her.
Being president was not a part of her plan.
No, at all.
At all. And they had problems and they went to therapy. But I think that the key of what you said was that she listened, she knew who he was, she gave him space when he needed it, she gave him grace, and she supported him. I think that's a big part for us as African American females who are in professional space. Stop trying to tell him what he needs to do,
right?
How he needs to meet you where you are, find the persuasive, seductive way to guide and motivate
him. Yes,
if you see that he has the potential to become that other person, not talking about character, I'm talking about maybe in a career or something, like, he wasn't president when she married him. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But you've got to learn to build them up.
Yes.
Give them the space.
Yes.
And you'd be surprised at how much you're going to get back.
Yes.
And we all know
yes.
Barack loves her.
Yeah, I think the balance becomes, and it's been a challenge for me, is not to do that in a sacrificial lamb kind of way.
Yes.
Not, I pour hard and heavy, and I'm a nurturer, and I'll build your business up, and I'll this, that, and the other. But at times, when I wasn't as self-aware, like you said earlier, I probably gave to the point of depletion and didn't have a good conscientiousness about my needs and wants, so I wasn't getting fed back into. And maybe it wasn't his fault even, but just I didn't know what I needed, so I didn't seek it.
Yeah.
But I was pouring into him, and that will breed resentment if you don't get that balance in check, right?
And you lose yourself.
You lose stop yourself.
Giving. Stop giving, ladies, right. And not receiving.
Right,
stop
right. Giving, giving, that's giving, what I'm saying.
Giving,
right. Absolutely.
Not receiving. Yes. Not receiving.
Yeah. Right. You can't give to martyrdom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. In fact, I was out last night, and I saw that another example of that, where the man said, well, it was a whole situation where this guy wanted to meet the woman, whatever, and the man says, I'm a boss, and then she says, we bosses too, I'm a boss. Why you gotta be a
boss? Why?
Oh my goodness.
First of all, real boss is not gonna say
competition.
That
is not a
real boss.
Right.
And you're not a real boss if you don't have payroll, I'm just saying.
For a meal, it doesn't mean that the next meal you have to pay for. There's nothing wrong with offering a tip. There's nothing wrong with offering after three or four. But we've gotten into this condition where we feel so, and I honestly feel that sometimes it's fear of being hurt or fear of being trapped, that we're then becoming to this place where we're like, oh, okay, well, if you can't, I can too. You can fix a car, I can fix a car. You can walk me to my car, I can walk
we
you to your
to
car.
We have to tap into the...
Yeah, dude, let him do his part.
Why do I feel attacked right now, Mahogany?
Because...
But when you've been so independent for so long and then you get married at the later age that you are, I have a problem with that now, being so independent that sometimes it is a hindrance, because I've been like, okay, you can fix this car, I can fix it too. You can take
we have to release
it. I can take myself. Everything that you can do, I can do. The only difference is I have a split and you don't.
Oh,
that's the only
she
difference.
She said a split.
Yeah,
you know,
we have to release that masculine energy that we have built.
I tap into my feminine energy.
And we have to,
my feminine
yeah, we have to get
you
back into
powerful.
That more feminine energy.
Yeah. But if you can tap into that feminine energy, my goodness, man. Batting them eyelashes, baby, to soften your voice, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Look, I'll
and be a little bit more submissive, ladies.
Yes.
Oh,
and that's not a negative.
Yeah,
negative.
There is a difference between being subservient and submissive.
Yes.
Yes.
I am...
To the man that deserves it and earned it.
Absolutely.
Show me
absolutely.
But see, that's the problem with younger women. They don't understand the definition of submissive and subservient. They get the two confused.
I see an older woman also.
Yes.
Right? Like to the point we talked about chivalry. I think even myself, I will go out and forget to let them open the door.
Yes, I'm going to do it.
All the time. First.
All the time.
Let them walk on the side of the street. And
right.
I have to remind myself to stop saying, I'm okay. Because in my normal life, I am okay. But when you're with the man and the man wants to do it.
And care to you.
We have to let
him.
We got to
let
him.
It makes a man feel good. And then like a little dog pat him on his foot. Oh my God, thank you so much.
You know what though? I thought. I think that uber independence comes from, we've talked about this in social environments, I think it comes also from our upbringing, right? Like, we've mentioned some of us, our dads played a really strong role in our lives and set this example. That certainly shows up in how I am as an adult because of where I regard him and how I measure other people.
Yes.
But if women really truly learn how to tap into their emotional intelligence, it could change so much, because I tell individuals, right, that I'm not saying that he would not have eventually have proposed, but true enough, we have been dating probably for like about 6 months, but I would send James something every now and then, like, look, baby, I just simply wanted you to know that I appreciate what you do. It was Christmas, I was going out of town, like, I bought him some Christmas gifts, put them in a bag, and left it in his house and told him he couldn't open it.
for 5 days because I wanted every day for him to look at that bag and wonder what was in that bag. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And literally, whenever he proposed because I sent him flowers for Valentine's Day. A woman had never sent him flowers before. It made him cry. He proposed to me that night. It's nothing wrong with tapping into the feminine side.
Amen.
I will send a text message of something. It might be good. It might be naughty. Just something to make him know that I'm thinking about him throughout the day. Right. There's nothing wrong with that.
But was that in the first 2 weeks of dating?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
And mind you, right? And then even with that, right? When we first started dating, it was only upon his initiative. And even whenever he would say, hey, baby, will you come over? I would sit right here. And then intentionally, if he was sitting right there, I wouldn't just come and sit next to him. I would wait for him to say, baby, can you come over a little closer? Absolutely.
But you said something key.
What?
You said dating.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You didn't say us coming together, hooking up, or you coming over and us just doing it. You said dating.
Like there.
And there's a difference.
I'm not going to lie to you and say that I stuck to that 90-day rule. I did not, but I absolutely did go
at it. What 90-day rule? Is it 90-day rule?
But I did go at it with intentionality. And whenever I say with intentionality, I went at it with intentionality with both husbands.
Right. Well, and if a man wants you, he's coming for you, right?
Look,
he is coming for you. Look,
exactly.
If you don't get, if you decide you're the mark, he's coming.
Look, they will chase you around the world trying to get it. And then mind you, right? I'm not gonna say I wouldn't make carrots every now and then. Absolutely. So I was. And then there's nothing wrong with that. You can have the relationship that you want, but mm-hmm. you are responsible for your relationship. You are responsible for what you get and what you don't get.
Exactly.
Right. And I thought where I was going with that was that some women misinterpret giving as in give and take. Mm-hmm. He did this for me, so I need to do this for him. He did this for me, so I should do it for him. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Kim and Nikki were saying.
No.
You want a man to grow in a relationship and grow a bond with you. He's got to give way more than you do, and he needs to be committed to you.
What you say?
Prior to you all of a sudden giving gifts and buying stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how many women I know, he didn't came over and spent the night you making breakfast. Stop that.
Absolutely.
Oh, he took me out to dinner, so the next time I went and I took him out to dinner, why? Is he your man?
No, reciprocity is not tip for tat. Stop saying that.
Stop playing wifey. Stop playing wifey.
Oh, my dear girl. When you don't deserve wifey stuff,
let him pursue you. Exactly.
And the thing that I say often is dating is a sport. Mm-hmm. And when I say dating is a sport, dating is a sport and may the best man win.
All day.
Look.
Yeah.
I was listening to Steve Harvey a couple years ago, and he said, look, ladies, he said, y'all want too much out of a man, out of just one man. He just said, until you figure out what it is that you want, ain't nothing wrong with dating three or four at the same time. Now, you can only sleep with one of them, so you have to make that decision because you can't just be out there just whoring yourself around. But however, dating is a sport, like, because cream always rises to the top. Because even with me and James, look, he was dating somebody else and I was dating somebody else. Now, he didn't know that I was dating somebody else, but I couldn't be sitting around whining upon him where he's at. Is he going to call? Is he not going to call? Is he going to? Absolutely. And then I didn't get serious with him until he got serious with me. You get what you give, I'm a mare. And whenever he decided he wanted to be serious, even whenever I got to a point where I was like, okay, are we getting serious? Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, I know that you ain't made a decision about what you gonna do, but I know that I got a time frame in my mind, and if you ain't made a decision with me, I'm gonna make a decision for us. Not like that decision that I make, but I gave him space for him to make that decision. But he knew that in my mind, I had a time frame. Like I ain't got, look, if I am not the chosen one, then I don't have no problem.
We only gonna play around for so long.
And you only, I think, get to that conclusion that if you're not the chosen one, you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
If you keep your options open.
Absolutely.
Until he has said,
yes,
you're the one.
Absolutely.
Would you like to have committed monogamous relations?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, let me go play the roster. Let me play the bench.
Yes.
Until then, you gotta date with the intention of their interviews. This is our opportunity to get to know them.
And ain't nobody hit their first check on interview day.
Absolutely. You got it. Right. And I'm like, I'm not a big fan of Steve Harvey. I'm not.
You've been for 60 days.
But as a man, he did say something that I preach seriously. Look, y'all. Men play games.
Absolutely.
Their entire lives, they're raised playing games. And if y'all do not process that, fight me. Because it's the truth. Think about it. When boys are young, are they playing with Barbies? Are they taking Barbie and Ken to get married? No, ma'am. Unless it's certain boys. These boys are playing G.I. Joe, they're playing PlayStation, they're playing PS5, and then when they get older, it's basketball, it's golf, it's croquet, or whatever. But the whole point is everything is a competition for a man. So I need you to understand, how do you think it's not the same thing when it comes to them in relations? Men are linear. They're not like females. They can't put things in a whole different, lot of different buckets and have diversity. Men process the same way, meaning that if they're always looking to win in every other aspect of their life, their career, their education, their recreation, why are they not looking to win with you? And so why are you opening yourself up to try and earn? That's not your job to earn. It's his job to earn you.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. And
I like how you summed all of this
up. And wrapping this up, Anne, one of the things that I would like for you to do, because it just so impacted me, is, and I go back to this all the time, so you know where I'm going.
No, I don't.
One of Anne's podcasts, she did, she said, men have a strategy for us, but we don't have a strategy for them. And I must have listened to that podcast probably about at least a good 3 or 4 times, because different men fall into different categories, and we have to decide, what category does this man fit in? So, Anne, because since we're dealing with both single women and also married women, because you gotta have a strategy today.
Right.
So, do you mind alluding to that as far as what your thoughts are?
I can't.
With the strategy there.
So, the premise of what Kim was speaking to was one of the first interviews that I did in California. And it was about the fact that I'm a relationship strategist, not a relationship coach. I feel that women innately already, we have everything we need to attract a man. God already put it into you. Intuition, sexiness, you know, fallopian tubes, ovulating, all of that. I'm telling you, all the chemical parts are already there, okay? What I feel that we miss, my observation in this day and age, is that we are looking to either get married or be in a relationship or have a boyfriend, but we ain't got a plan. Now here's the part that kills me about us. I got a plan for my career. I have a plan for my children. I have a plan for my future financially. I know I want to go from having an apartment to being a homeowner to perhaps renting out a place. Yes. You have plans! But when it comes to a man, the only plan you have is he got to look good and have 6 figures and take me to a nice restaurant. That's not a plan. That's a dream. There's a difference. So in being a relationship strategist, it's helping a woman to understand, what is your strategy for getting what you want and need? As Nikki and Kim said, first, do you know yourself enough to know what you need? Most women do not, to be honest. 20, 30, 40, 50s, we do not. And that's how we keep meeting the same builder bears and man boys. Okay? You're attracting who you are. And if you do not believe me, fight me. I'm telling you, you attract who you are. If he's indecisive, guess what? There's some place in your life that you're indecisive.
Yes.
If he's a player, somewhere in your life, you're a player as well. You just have to figure out where that is and get that out. However, men come to the board with strategy. They do. I'm giving you an example. You in a club, you at a bar, and then what happens? Man meets you, and I know we've all felt it because we have guts. We gotta start trusting our intuition.
Yes.
They will see you and they will know if that's the woman I just want to have a one night stand with and go home with. They will meet you and know, is that the woman that I want to perhaps pay for my meal tonight or pay for my meal at some other point? They look at you and be like, ooh, look at her shoes. Okay, she got money. Or they will engage you in a very titillating conversation because they want to get to know you. And perhaps, if you keep the conversation going, he actually sees you as a potential partner down the line. Men come to the table usually knowing. Just like you come to the table knowing if you're going to sleep with a dude or not, they come to the table knowing what category they want you in. Do you get what I'm saying with that? So it's the strategy, and that's what we go through in our counseling sessions, is understanding, do you have a strategy? Or is your strategy from date number one and date number two, would he make a good husband? That's not a strategy. It is fantasy and retardedness.
Not a strategy. Right.
We gotta stop that. Dating is a journey. You have a strategy that is separate from the dude that you're dating, and then when they fit into that bucket, then you can apply it. So I think that's what Kim was speaking
to. Absolutely. I had a strategy for James.
Right. Right. And when you find the right man, he has the right character, to like what Nikki said earlier. You have the right character. He has the right goals. You are aligned. A us apart, and I'm not gonna keep preaching because we gotta go. Please stop dating people that you ain't got shit to do, that y'all don't get along.
No alignment.
You know, he over here with one religion, you with another religion. You got kids, he ain't never had kids. You been married, he ain't never been married. You live over here in Ireland, you live over here in California. Ma'am, stop. You need more things that are aligned and are in common because life is hard enough. Last question for each of us, and we're all going to just take 30 seconds. In the last 20-some years in your dating journeys, tell me, each of you, what have you learned about yourself? And what have you made different to be a better person?
For me, I've learned about my self-worth. Mm-hmm. I used to let people do whatever, say whatever. I learned my self-worth. When I learned my self-worth, I'm who I am today.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Bobby? I've learned that I'm a complicated character. I've spent some time doing some work on myself and how I show up in relationships. And I think that serves me far better now than it did at an earlier point in my life.
The best thing that I could have done for me, and I did not have a successful relationship until I went to therapy.
Preach.
And whenever I say whenever I went to therapy, I don't even go to therapy because I necessarily felt like I needed therapy. I just simply went to therapy because I was actually trying to get out of work. But when the therapist said, tell me about your childhood, and I was able to tap into that childhood trauma and heal those broken spaces and places in me, that's when everything changed for me. So if I can recommend anything, get some therapy and let go of those childhood wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you love the broken spaces and places of you, then they can love the broken spaces and places of you.
Aww. That's beautiful.
Yes. I learned to be still and to trust the process.
That's good too.
Beautiful.
Yes. Sit with your feelings, whatever they are.
Yes.
I would say that I learned self-care and self-worth. And that came from therapy, and I didn't know I didn't have it. Yes, that's a big piece of it. And when you change it, because now I have amazing dates, baby. I don't have no problem with nobody trying to take me down to their daggone house. It's not happening. It's not the energy I'm giving off anymore.
Right.
Because I know who I am. I know what I want and where I'm at right now. And therefore, it's coming to me in that space.
Manifesting it.
Learn to be a high value.
I want to thank each and every one of you. I love y'all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I'll leave you with this point so you all know that this is based on Mahogany, and my favorite movie is Mahogany. And that's why it's my school name, Mahogany Moore. But one thing Billy D said in the movie, if y'all remember, he said that you are rich, dark, beautiful, and rare. So I say that to everyone out there to know that about yourself. You're rich, dark, beautiful, and rare. And you can become a Mahogany Maven as well. Lastly, let's talk about where can they follow you? Where can they find you? Nikki, where can anyone wants to follow you and find you? Is it your wonderful restaurant?
Oh, my restaurant is GritsAndEggsBreakfast.com. Grits and Eggs Breakfast on Facebook, GES Breakfast on Instagram. My personal one is Nikki Too Fabulous. Yeah, that's Instagram. That's it.
Cool. Bobby.
My practice is Taylor.wellness. And my personal is I Am Bobby Jones across all platforms.
Perfect.
So my husband and I, we own First Priority Insurance Agency. So if you just Google First Priority Insurance Morrow, you'll be able to locate us. If you want to follow me personally, it was Kimberly H. McMorris. I'm excited about it.
Nika?
I am Jake's baby girl on Instagram, and you can also reach me there for all of your notary needs for Jacob Duvay LLC. I am mobile, and I will meet you anywhere in the Atlanta metro area for all your personal signings.
Great. Nice. And as always, you'll find Mahogany_more on Instagram. On Facebook, it is Mahogany. Remember, Mahogany has two H's in it. Mahogany More, Facebook, Mahogany_more. Instagram, YouTube, it is also Mahogany More. On our podcast platforms, you can find us on Podbean, Apple, iHeart, and Amazon. And thank you for joining us today. Thanks for having us, everybody.
Yeah. Oh. This was-